Welcome to the Heart Matters Podcast with your host, Ibn Leon. Join us as we explore the intricacies of spirituality and self-improvement. Gain a fresh perspective on enhancing your spiritual, emotional, and mental well-being through the fusion of spirituality and self-improvement. Enjoy Ibn's engaging conversations with guests from diverse backgrounds. They share unique perspectives on personal growth and holistic health. From spiritual leaders to relationship experts, entrepreneurs to creatives, each episode delivers knowledge and inspiration. Tune into the Heart Matters Podcast for profound conversations and practical advice, empowering you to live your best life. Chapter 5, Inspiring Stories. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Heart Matters Podcast. I am your host, Relationship Coach Lewis Morris. It is my belief that the vessel, meaning the heart, can only pour out that which it contains. Therefore, it is upon us to place those things that are good and beneficial into the heart in order to emanate them out into the world and attract those things and those people that are beneficial and that will enhance our lives. We have another fantastic guest on today. Amy Riley is here. Amy Riley is best known as an authority on aphrodisiac foods. This is why we wanted to have her on the show. We want to help the people out with their sexual prowess. But she is also a speaker, cookbook author, and consultant. In 2004, she became the second American to earn a Master of Arts in gastronomy. Is that how you say it?
Gastronomy.
I'm working on it. Gastronomy, awarded by France's culinary temple, Le Cordon Bleu. That's how I'm bringing it. In 2006, Amy released her first book, Fork Me, Spoon Me, the sensual cookbook, cementing her role as America's leading authority in aphrodisiac food industry. Amy regularly speaks and consults on the topic of aphrodisiacs and has appeared on the Today Show, which is impressive, CBS Early Show, and she was also a featured on Nightline and in Playboy, which is quite interesting. We need to talk about that as well. Amy Riley is here, everybody. Welcome her to the Heart Matters Podcast. How are you, Amy?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. Okay, now let's talk about this this Playboy appearance first. Let's get into
Wait,
that.
Wait, which one?
Oh, so you were a regular.
No, I've done Playboy radio twice. I've done Playboy television twice. And back when there was a print magazine, they printed a review of Fork Me, Spoon Me.
Okay, so how did they hear about the book and how did they contact you?
So when they first reviewed the book, that was thanks to my dear publicist was really good friends with a writer at Playboy. It was as simple as that. And I guess after that, when they needed someone to talk about aphrodisiacs, they remembered me, so.
Wow. All right, so this is how you got all the appearances on Today Show and CBS Early Morning and all that?
It was a lot of it was from my first book. And then after people heard of me from the first book, you know, people knew there aren't a lot of people to call on this topic, you know?
Wow. All right, so who is your publicist? Because she's getting busy.
No, this was back in, so I worked with a publicist in, 2006 to about 2006 to 2010. I don't currently. I'm not, well, first of all, I'm not promoting a new book, so it's not really, I don't have that need. And also, I don't have that kind of time anymore, you know?
Okay. when was the last time you wrote something new?
I wrote, my most recent book is called Eat Cake Naked, and I wrote it in 2015.
Did you publish it? Is it published?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How did that do? Another bestseller?
So, no. Nope. I got to tell you, it is a great book. But the thing is, I decided to do an ebook only just because I wanted to learn my way around the ebook world. And I probably should have not chosen to do it at a time when I had a newborn. Let's put it that way, because I did not have time to learn my way around the ebook world. Mm. So that's okay. That's okay. You know, it's, there's still great recipes and I can still do it eventually.
Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk about how you got into this. First of all, you know, Amy, how did you, you know, where did this come from? Cause this is not, you know, a normal career path.
No, people, not really.
You know, aphrodisiac food. So where did this desire to do this come from?
To be perfectly honest, I was writing on wine as a freelance writer, and I needed to find more work. I needed to find another topic to write about. And I love folkloric history, particularly Greek mythology. I also really like the health side of food, and aphrodisiacs is a topic that combines the two in a really fun way. And so it was just a good fit. It was a good fit for me. Mm-hmm. It worked out well.
Okay, did you go to school for this? What, you know, where do you study at to find out about aphrodisiac foods?
So through my master's degree program at Le Cordon Bleu, we had the option to do a lot of self-directed study. And anytime we got that option, I chose to study something about the relationship between food and sex.
Okay.
So,
right, yeah. Wait a minute. Hold on. All right. So what did you find initially that, you know, that made you keep going in this area?
Well, what I found was that, you know, in the U.S. is really behind as far as aphrodisiacs go.
Is that right?
Our culture was really late to embrace the topic, unlike, you know, most other parts of the world. It wasn't something that was accepted, you know, even up until recent years. In fact, even as an expert in my field, there were a lot of times where I was shut down because people weren't comfortable with the topic. I feel that's changed in the past 10 years, but yeah, I learned that Americans were, historically relatively uncomfortable with the topic.
Okay. Why?
I don't know. You tell me. We're sexually repressed.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Because, I happen to like sex.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a problem with it. You know, I don't know where all this is coming from. You know, that's why I'm asking you.
Yeah. Historically, this was not, we did not. Well, I mean, historically, Americans didn't do a lot of talking about sex, certainly. And we did not believe in, you know, food as a part of that either. Food was not foreplay. I did do my dissertation on the relationship between food and sex in American popular culture. And I found that sitcoms did a lot for my field. There is a lot of references, you know, linking food with foreplay in sitcoms, like in the 90s and early 2000s.
What are you talking about? Seinfeld, you know?
Yeah, Seinfeld, Friends.
About here, huh? Friends.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I must have missed those episodes because, you know.
Wasn't there? There was a whole thing. There was a whole running gag on Friends about sex or cake or there was something like that. I don't know. I wrote my dissertation a long time ago. But there was, yeah.
Is that right? Okay, so I'm still trying to figure out why the American population is behind in regard to this matter.
I think that, you know, up until recently, there was a lot that we did not feel comfortable talking about, from sexuality to foreplay. I mean, all of it. It's much more acceptable now to talk about these things.
Okay, so where do you think that came from? From that that 50 Shades of Grey or something? You know what I'm saying? What opened the door? You know,
well,
what
that must have helped. Huh? I mean, that clearly must have helped. I'm trying to think what happened. I mean, our whole culture has shifted. Our whole culture has shifted drastically in recent years.
Right.
You know, it was unacceptable. I mean, heck, homosexuality was unacceptable largely in our culture until, I mean, things have really shifted. Mm. Bisexuality is now acceptable and almost understood, you know.
Okay.
So what made that? So it's all part of the same change. What made that change?
Okay. So how do your clients find you? What are they saying when they get on the call with you?
Oh, so I work. So what I do is if for me, a client is like a chef or a hotel group or something. Like I will help them develop a Valentine's package or a romance package, or I'll help a chef develop a special menu for a romantic menu or something. Those are the kind of people I work with. So we're purely talking about food.
Okay. So you were busy last week.
Right. Yes, I was. I've been busy for a few weeks.
Okay. So the hotels and the restaurants and everything, they got in touch with you and they said, hey, put something together. You know,
so
Valentine's Day is coming up.
Yeah, this year and last year, I didn't really do that. But there's a lot less emphasis on it because there's a lot less traveling and going out for obvious reasons. But in the past, yeah, that's what I would do. I would work December, January. I would be all about love and helping create these kinds of experiences that people could enjoy. Yeah.
Yeah, well, the restaurants were still packed yesterday.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
So nobody got in contact with you?
Not for this year, no.
But you were still busy anyway.
Oh, I was, yeah, I was busy. I mean, as the author of 5 aphrodisiac cookbooks, yeah, I was busy, mostly with interviews.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, so you went on the TV circuit.
No, also again this year, I did not want to do TV because it all has to be remote from my home and I have 2 little kids and a dog and I'm like, I can't this year. So mostly I did radio, podcasts, print interviews, that kind of thing. Guest writing articles to, you know, try to help people, give them the advice. And of course I have to, I'm still promoting my cookbooks. My cookbooks are still all on the market. And, so there's some of that going on as well.
Mm. Okay. So how many cookbooks do you have out?
So I am the author or co-author of 5. One is out of print. One I think might be a little, I don't think it's out of print. It's called Chili Aphrodisia. It was for a very small publisher in the Southwest. I think you can still find that book out there if you look hard. If you love chili peppers, that would be a book to get. It is all about chili peppers.
What do you mean? What is the aphrodisiac effect for chili peppers? They're hot.
Chili peppers?
They're hot.
Oh, they're so hot. They're so hot. No, chili peppers, seriously.
How does it affect the libido?
Oh, I would be happy to enlighten you. Chilies are among the best aphrodisiacs in the world because they raise your body temperature when you eat them. So you're a little more ready to tear off your clothes. They make your lips plump up so you look more kissable to someone who's sitting across the table and is attracted to you. They make your tongue tingle. They make your cheeks flush, which I'm told that psychologically will equate to a sexual flush. To someone who's attracted to you, that flush will turn them on. And if you eat enough chilies, and you have to eat a lot of chilies, but if you eat enough chilies, you'll actually get an endorphin rush, which is fairly similar to that sexual rush. It just all helps to get you in that mood, get you ready, get you thinking about sex. Now you have to be in the room with someone you're attracted to. It's obviously not going to work if you're sitting home alone with some chilies. Like that'd be kind of pointless for most of us. Well.
I'm writing some things out. Some chili brothers. Yeah, because you know. I might have to spring this on my boo. All right, mm-hmm. All right. So All right, so give me some more foods that might help the libido.
Okay, so same principle as chili peppers, but better for people who don't really like spice. You don't want to serve chilies to someone who doesn't like spice, even if you're trying to seduce them. Just don't. Always serve the other person things they enjoy. So I suggest ginger. Has many of the same properties as chili, right? It makes the tongue tingle. It's, you know, there are a lot of lip plumping glosses that have ginger in them. It's okay, like an irritant to make you more kissable. Ginger,
is it the root?
Ginger root, yes. But you can, you know, candy, ginger powder, ginger, fresh ginger, ginger root. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Powerful aphrodisiac.
Okay. All right. So what does this ginger do? What is this doing here? The same
again,
thing
it raises your doing? In a more subtle fashion, because it's not quite as spicy, but it does raise your body temperature. It does make your lips plump. Your tongue tingles. You can, if you eat enough ginger, you'll get that flush. Also, ginger is excellent for digestion. Now, let's think about this. You don't want to eat, like, have a big meal and then get busy in the bedroom, right? So you want to have a lighter meal. If you have something like ginger, helps you digest as well. Helps you feel more ready for that other performance. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right, so we got chili peppers, we got ginger. What else we got here?
Well, let's see. Give me
five. Let my audience get five. That way you will have a selection.
Should we talk about the highs and lows of alcohol? Ugh. Alcohol is an aphrodisiac. It's also a problem.
Yeah, alcohol is a lot of things.
Right? Yeah.
Doesn't agree with me. Yeah. Oh. I've had some bad experiences with that.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I hate the word moderation, but this is one time where it must be applied. Right?
Is that right?
Yeah, obviously, if you're going to introduce alcohol as an aphrodisiac, moderation is key.
Okay, so you can't get drunk.
No, no.
Okay, so what you're saying is just get a little tipsy here.
Yeah, a cocktail, are we talking
any specific cocktail or, you know, just general?
So, you know, historically, all alcohol is considered aphrodisiac. I tend to steer people toward wine just because, you know, once you start getting into cocktails, it can get a little dangerous, especially, you know, one that tastes so good, you can't taste the alcohol and you forget. So wine is always, you know, is always a good choice. I recommend champagne. Because nobody ever opens a bottle of champagne in a bad mood, right? It's celebratory. It feels like a celebration. Mm. The other thing about it is that those bubbles in the champagne help the alcohol hit your bloodstream a little faster. You feel a little giddy, which makes people tend to drink a little less because they feel it right away. They're like, ooh, I feel this.
Mm.
So, you know, it's kind of got this built-in check. So I always recommend champagne or sparkling wine. It doesn't have to be, you know, official from France champagne. It can be any sparkling wine that you enjoy. Mm. Always a great choice. Mm. But as far as other foods go, if you like red meat, I recommend bison. Not like skip beef or lamb.
Bison is a moose bison. Or something.
Bison is not a moose.
Okay, well,
it's also called it's American bison. It's also some people call it buffalo. It's a large it's shaggy. Yeah, bison it's a large buffalo. Shaggy. It's a large okay, well, shaggy is, cow.
How does a buffalo stimulate you?
So, I actually put bison on my list. We have a list on my website, Eat Something Sexy, of the 10 best foods for men's sexual health.
Bison is one of them.
Is great for men's sexual health. Yes, because first of all, men need protein and they need more protein than women do. And you need good sources of lean protein. Bison, as compared with other red meats, is quite lean. So you're getting this really good source of protein without getting artery clogging fats, because those fats are like the biggest enemy of a man's sexual health, right? So, you know, it also, it's got several other nutrients that support men's sexual health as well. Iron, zinc, those kind of things. So if you want to eat meat, and most people do at some point or another want to eat meat, this is a great choice. This is the aphrodisiac choice, especially for men.
Bison.
Okay.
All right, I wrote it down. All right, I wrote it down. Right,
you're not sold. You're not sold on the bison. But for a room, I got to tell you, for romantic dinner, stay away from the beef and lamb, because just like I talked about before, about, you know, you don't want to have heavy foods that your body's working hard to digest. All the blood goes to your stomach to digest the beef, right? To digest a steak. Well, you need good blood flow to other regions in order to experience sexual climax. So okay. you don't want to be digesting a steak.
All right, so what about fish? What kind of fish are we looking at here? Because I've never met a fish I didn't like.
I love that. I love fish too. And all fish, quite frankly, is considered aphrodisiac. All a great choice. You get some advantages from the oilier fish like salmon in that you get more of the omega-3 fatty acids, which helps support a good mood. You know, you want to be in a good mood to be in the mood.
Yeah. Yeah. I like salmon. Salmon's good.
Salmon is a great choice. Also, the shellfish are also great choices, like clams, mussels, oysters. Actually, clams is also on my list of the 10 best foods for men's sexual health.
Okay. Well, why is that? What is this clam thing?
Clam thing. Well, again, it's like the bison, where it's a good source of lean protein, first of all, easily digestible. It's got some nutrients like zinc that are going to support men's sexual health, right? And testosterone production and all of those things. But also, there was a study a few years back, a scientific study that inadvertently found that there's this amino acid that's in clams, mussels, oysters, scallops, all of them. That has the potential, they believe that it actually directly raises sexual hormone levels. Now, nobody's actually, you know, studied to find out how much do you have to eat? How well does this work? But there definitely is the potential there that just eating clams can raise your sexual hormone levels.
Hmm. Okay. All right. So we got the chili peppers, the ginger, the bison.
Mm-hmm.
Salmon,
yeah,
and shellfish.
Salmon and shellfish, definitely.
Right. You got anything else?
Well, you know, we kind of ignored the whole all of the fruits and vegetables, but most of them are considered aphrodisiac.
What about squash?
Squash is not sexy. I mean,
it's not.
It does.
I love squash.
It has nutrients that support sexual health. So certainly it's going to be good for your sex life. But as far as like a food of seduction, squash just isn't, you know, terribly sexy.
Okay, so what's a vegetable that is?
Ooh, so a vegetable, a sexy vegetable. Fennel. How about fennel?
Who's fennel? I don't even, who's fennel? I don't know him.
Who the hell? He grows wild in my garden. He grows wild in my garden. So I know fennel very well. Oh. Fennel is related to licorice, actually, but it's a vegetable. It's a bulb vegetable and with a really mild flavor that has a lot of, oh, you know what's good? This is a funny one, celery. And part of the reason is so basic, it's almost boring. Celery helps keep you hydrated because it's got so much water.
Mm-hmm.
But it also has an aroma that, an aroma. It also has a nutrient that it's like a phytoestrogen. So it kind of mimics estrogen. And so it's a great one for women, they say, because it can kind of help balance women's sexual health. Mm. But it's great for everyone because it helps hydrate you while you're crunching on your celery stick.
I love it. Okay. All right. Okay, so now let's talk a little bit about the dating thing. Do the dating coaches get in touch with you? Have you heard from the dating coaches say, hey, listen, you know, I got some clients, you know, could you like give me some tips that I could, you know, does this happen?
So now I've been in touch with a few dating services. So Match.com asked me for a quote one time for an article. And then I did for a little while, I worked with a dating service here in Los Angeles, we would do these dinners where it would be six women who've never met each other and six men, and they would, you know, match them up. Like these are six people who are fairly, you know, are looking for the same thing. Mm-hmm. And we'd have them all cook a dinner together, all six of them, and they would just kind of see if anyone, you know, makes a match. I don't think there was a really high success rate, but there were definitely a few matches made. In fact, my friend who came along to help as my kitchen assistant wound up dating one of the students.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Did they tie the knot?
No. It was a brief thing, but she found, you know, she found a glimmer of romance there.
I love it. All right. Okay, Amy. All right. So tell the people how they can get in touch with you.
So I run a website called eatsomethingsexy.com, where everything that we've talked about today, you'll find more information about it on eatsomethingsexy.com. And of course you mentioned, we've talked about, I have five cookbooks. So if you want to get cooking, get a copy of Fork Me, Spoon Me, or download my ebook, Eat Cake Naked.
Eat Cake Naked.
Eat Cake Naked. And then I always let people know the best way, like if you want a direct answer from me, I'm very active on Twitter and I will answer, just shout out and I'm happy to answer you at Fork Me, Spoon Me.
Okay. Do you do the Twitter rooms now? Do you do that?
No, that's for, I don't have that kind of time. I wish. It's great. I just maybe someday.
Yeah.
Never say never, you know?
All right. So are you on Clubhouse?
No. I've heard that. I'm just so busy.
Yeah, you might want to get on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Good to know. Good tip.
Well, it's not like, you know, it's not like you have to be up there all day. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Anytime you want to get up there. I haven't been up there in like a week, 2 weeks. Yeah. I don't go up there all the time. I was up there more regularly, but, you know, it gets kind of tiresome. You know, you don't want to be up there all the time. So I just choose whenever I want to get on. I said to myself today, I'm going to try to get on once a week, probably on Sundays in the afternoon. I'll come on maybe 1 o'clock, something like that, you know, talk a little bit. But I'm not going to be up there like that. I just don't have that kind of time.
Right.
Up there, you know, because it gets long.
Yeah, you know, I mean that's the feedback I've gotten. It gets long.
It can get really long, and if you're up there more than maybe twice a week, you know what I'm saying? The hours really pile up because you're on air and rooms last for 3 or 4 hours.
Ooh,
you know, if you let it. You know,
right, and it can.
That's why now I go on to my own room, my own club, my own room. That way I can end it, you know, when I want to end it. Because you go into other people's room and you get caught up in those conversations because they have great conversations up there.
Right.
It's not like, you know, all the conversations are bad. They have some very good clubs and rooms up there where you can really get caught up in some really stimulating conversations about different topics. Mm-hmm. So you just have to be careful and selective, but it can be addictive if you let it. But you need to get on there.
All right, good to know. Thank you.
You got this aphrodisiac thing. You know, people be clamoring to get at you.
I hear you. Thanks for the tip.
All right, Amy, I appreciate you coming on. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a blast. I wrote some things down.
You know, I love that you took notes.
I have to run them by my fiance later on.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? Ask her, you know, about these chili peppers.
Yeah.
You know, because she liked that hot stuff. You know, I might have to ask her, you know.
All right. Yeah. Let me know how it goes.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for coming on.
Take care. Bye.
That was Miss Amy Riley. She is an authority in aphrodisiac foods. She is also a speaker, author, and consultant. We appreciate her coming on and sharing her expertise with us. It was very informative. I really appreciated that. Follow me on Instagram, as always, at Lewis_Morris_coaching for daily relationship tips and advice. We're always trying to help out the singles and the couples navigate this relationship realm. So follow me over there on Instagram at Lewis_Mars_coaching for daily relationship tips and advice. Remember, the Patterns of the Power Couple is available in audio and in paperback. Audio and paperback, you can get it by going to the link in my bio on Instagram, or you can just go to my link tree, which is linktr.ee/LewisMars. That's linktr.ee/LUISMORRIS to get the Patterns of the Power Couple in either paperback or audio, or both if you like. Also, check out the mall, which is the website, lewismarscoaching.com, for all of the coaching offers, the other books that we have, the free giveaways. And other than that, it is all in the mall, which where all of the stores are contained, where my first coach mentioned. If you want to get in touch with me, once again, make sure that you check out for your young men, 13 to 21, the Manhood Cultivation Project. Now, this particular podcast probably will be out right before we close down registration. So if you want to check out what the Manhood Cultivation Project, the 8-week project with young men 13 to 21 entails, then you can go to the link in my bio on Instagram and check that out. Or you can just go to linktr.ee/LUISMORRIS and check out the Manhood Cultivation Project. We are going to help the young men with issues of masculinity and manhood and things like this. All of it will be done online. We are taking it online right now until we get the approval of a bigger institution, which we believe is coming really soon. So please check that out. Once again, I thank you guys for all of your support, and I will speak to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Heart Matters Podcast. For relationship, spiritual, coaching, and resources, go to the Heart Matters brand link tree, which is linktr.ee/LUISMORRIS. That's linktr.ee/LUISMORRIS. And we will see you again soon.